All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 The Game. It certainly is a busy day. So much going on. But first, guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Very excited for our next guest. You check him out at CBS Sports. Of course, you've heard him all around doing play-by-play. It's our buddy Ian Eagle. How you doing, Ian?
Hey, what's up, guys? Nice to talk to you.
Of course. Hey, right off the bat, I know you're a Syracuse guy. Tell me about those great memories about UVM over Syracuse. Give me, give me some of that right off the bat, huh?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi.
A little Sorrentino memory.
Yeah.
I will not order rigatoni Sorrentino because of that.
Wow.
I love it. You seem like you remember it like it was yesterday, you know?
Yeah, those kind of stick out a little bit through the years. You have some memories that are seared into your brain. That was a hell of a game, and I know how much that meant to the program, to the state of Vermont. So I've gotten over it on a personal level, but you definitely strike a nerve when you bring that up to Syracuse people.
Ian, you're on the call for Bears and Patriots this Sunday. We'll talk about that in a second, but I got to ask you, just as a play-by-play guy, Gus Johnson was on the famous call of that game. I'm sure you've come across Gus in social circles and in professional circles before. What's it like being around Gus Johnson? Because he strikes me as like all kinds of like fun craziness.
Yeah. From the parking lot.
Yeah.
That's
it.
I do recall. Gus is tremendous. He's a great guy. First of all, I've known him forever, and not shocked at all at the kind of success that he's had and the way he's captured sports fans' attention, the excitement that he brings. He feels the game. That's the bottom line. And really, as a broadcaster, I would think that's what you hope for. That's your objective, to be as one with the event that you're covering. You can do all the preparation, which is really important, and I'm a big prep guy, and I believe in that, being ready for it, even though you don't use 75% of the stuff that you've uncovered over the course of the week. But ultimately, you're judged on how you do in the moment and how you perform, and that's where Gus continues to get the highest grades possible. He is a conduit for the live event to the person sitting in their living room and trying to get a feel for what the whole vibe is.
Ian is an aspiring play-by-play guy for, I guess it's been 47 years now. when you guys have pre-show meetings, what kind of things do you seek to learn from players and coaches? Kind of take us behind the scenes.
Yeah, the premise there is there's so much information out there now. When I started at CBS, it was 1998. They got the rights to the AFC. And at that point, of course, there was some stuff available, but you were basically leaning on the media guide, the press notes, and the hope was that you could get a little more insight from the head coach, from the quarterback, from three or four of the other players, from the coordinators, and bring that to the viewer. That hasn't changed, although there's much more available to the regular fan. If you want to prepare for the game as a fan, you can sit on the internet 24 hours a day and come up with nuggets and storylines and narratives. You're trying to go beyond that. You're trying to go beyond the headlines and try to find something a little bit more inside and insightful that you can bring to the viewer. So the way that I've tried to categorize it in my mind, if it's just the same old song, the same stuff that you've heard all week, then odds are I'm not going to go with it just because we spoke to player X or Y. But if it's something a little different, a wrinkle that may not have popped up during the week in the paper every day or on SportsCenter or whatever outlet you follow, then I feel like that's fresh information and maybe a new angle for people to gain some insight.
I'm so curious. How is it, especially in like the pre-show stuff, when you run in and you talk with Belichick, you talk with Brady, there's no way Belichick is mumbling like he mumbles to the other press. He's not, when you ask him a question and he doesn't like it, he doesn't say, Ian, we're on the Kansas City. I mean, he doesn't say stuff like that, does he?
No, that's not the mood. That's not the vibe in there. But I will tell you this. If you just go with the generic, hey, tell me about your running back situation.
Right, right.
You're not going to get a whole lot out of Bill. What I've noticed in doing these meetings now for all these years with Bill, Bill's really thoughtful. Bill's also aware of the impact of his words and what he says and how he says them. He's not going to go overboard. He's not going to hand you the game plan. But if you ask good questions, he'll give you productive answers. He tends to be more reactionary to questions regarding the other team, to questions regarding the history of the NFL, yeah. So comparisons from previous generations, and anything officiating-oriented, he'll talk forever. He's got a lot of opinions on that. If you start poking around his team and looking for specifics, then the answers are going to be rather curt.
Ian Eagle of CBS Sports, he's on the call for Patriots-Bears this Sunday. He's doing it with Dan Fouts, the legend as well, and he's here with us on the huddle on 101.3 The Game. Ian, you mentioned how much research it is that you do. You haven't had the Patriots yet this year for a television game, so how much work has to go into this week's broadcast?
Well, fortunately for me, I do the Thursday night games on radio, so I end up seeing a bunch of teams before I get them on television, and it feels like a head start. It feels like you get this added bonus of maybe not going quite as in-depth because you don't have the access that you would have on television, but you certainly now have the beginnings of what you need to really prepare for the broadcast. I had the New England-Indianapolis game a couple of weeks ago, and that was when there were still some questions out there regarding the Patriots, the same storyline that we seem to have every year in the first month of the season. Oh, is this it? Are we starting to see the deterioration? Is this now finally the year we'll look back and say that's when it turned? And none of it ever turns out to be the case. What I saw there was a team that was beginning to knock on the door of its explosive tendencies on offense. Obviously, last week we saw all of that on display. Michelle has really been a revelation the last few weeks and how he fits with this offense and why they made him a first-round pick. And the addition of Edelman changes things for Tom Brady. He's just got that security blanket there. And the evolution of Josh Gordon in this offense. Now, there are going to be questions defensively, and rightfully so. They've looked vulnerable. They've been vulnerable. The numbers show that. And the big plays, the amount of big plays that they've given up. So that's still going to be a topic of conversation until that gets shored up. But all in all, here we are, week 7. The Patriots feel like the Patriots again.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're like a top 2 or 3 team in the, out of nowhere. But what's your favorite thing about watching Tom Brady play through the years? And can you compare him to other athletes maybe you've seen?
Yeah, I just think there's a professional pride that you take for granted. You just assume if a player makes it to the NFL, if he makes it to the highest levels of football, that there would be a professional pride with every play that they run, with every practice that they participate in, with every game plan that they study. And it's just not the case. That's not reality. For Tom Brady, it is. The same infectious love of the game that I noticed in meeting with him the first year he was a starter is still there all these years later. I ended up doing a bunch of those games when Drew Bledsoe got hurt. There was a come-from-behind victory against San Diego that I remember vividly. Doug Flutie coming back to Massachusetts looked like he shored up a win, and then Brady leads them back, and they get the W. Then they go to Indianapolis with Peyton Manning, and they lambaste the Colts. I think that was the week that I remember doing that game, and everybody started looking around saying, wait, is this something we have to keep an eye on? You know, this unheralded QB out of Michigan, could he really step in for Drew Bledsoe and make this team better? And obviously we know now what the legacy is. But when you sit down with him, none of that has gone. There's still a youthfulness to him. And I know we say that because he's 41 years old and it doesn't look like the end is anywhere in sight. And we laughed a couple of years ago when he said that he could play to 45, 46. And the reaction, at least the immediate one, was, oh, yeah, sure. You're going to play quarterback in the NFL at 45, 46. You know what? He might be able to do it. He's just wired in a different way. And the way he maintains his body, his fitness, He's incredible. I don't know if we're going to see another guy like him again in this league, and that's saying something.
Ian, do you like have a favorite? I know you do Army, Navy, football. My dad used to love that. You call basketball, track and field, you boxing. Is there anything you don't call? Or is that like saying that's asking you which is your favorite child? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. No, it's my daughter. I mean, if you're No, the reality for me is I never wanted to say no. When the calls would come in about an opportunity, I just wanted to automatically say yes and then worry about it after the fact. I got asked to do boxing. I said yes. I got asked to do track and field. I said yes. I got asked to do tennis and golf. I said yes. That was, to me, the way that it was supposed to be. You don't turn down a chance to do something new, even though you don't have a background in it. What you have to do then is immerse yourself in it, get down a lexicon of terms that you feel comfortable with, a glossary and the pacing of a broadcast, and then lean on your analyst, make sure that they're being put in the best position to do the best job that they can do. To me, that's the job in a nutshell, is to make the broadcast presentable, make it a conversation, be conversational, but be authoritative, and try to be not only informative, but entertaining. So that's the way I've tried to approach it. That's how I've attacked this job. No matter what's popped up, I go back to the basics of putting myself in the position of learning and being curious, and then being genuine in the moment. I'm not trying to play the role of a sportscaster. I'm trying to also feel the energy of the crowd and convey using vocabulary, using emotion, using your voice, and putting that all together in a package that hopefully resonates with the viewer.
Ian, we'll get you out of here on this. It was on this station a couple of nights ago that Joe Castiglione, the Red Sox broadcaster, fell out of his chair in game four of the ALCS. What have been the best moments for you as a broadcaster where you were like, wow, I can't believe I got to call this one?
Yeah, well, first of all, for football, I have never sat in all these years.
Wow.
21 years of doing the NFL, I have never sat for a football broadcast. So there's no chance of me falling out of a chair because I'm not on a chair. NBA, you sit, and if they would let me stand, I probably would, but a lot of people pay big money to sit right behind us, so that's not going to fly. For me, it's amazing to think back on it now. I've been doing the NBA for 25 years. I was really fortunate over a stretch of time to do the world feed for a bunch of big events. And it was NBA Finals. It was Michael Jordan winning multiple championships. And the broadcast that we were doing would air in the United Kingdom. They'd air in the Philippines. They'd air in Israel. I'm huge in Indonesia. Huge. Can't walk the streets of Indonesia without a mob scene. So those stand out. I've worked some NCAA championships, same deal. I've been really, really lucky. I know that. I don't take any of that for granted. And fortunately, although I'm getting older in age, I'm still pretty young in broadcast circles. So I think I got some more years in front of me. Hopefully there'll be some big events to come.
I see a Steve Carell type. If you wanted to get into acting, I see that. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not aging. I mean, I think there was a while there. I fluctuated a bit. Right now, I think I might, at this stage of my life, I'm a combination of John Oliver and McLovin.
I love it.
A little Brockmeyer, man.
Yeah, I love it. Ian, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun. We really appreciate it, and we'll have to do it again.
Anytime, guys. Great talking to you. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thanks.